It's an industry that I generally love. I have a passion for. I eat, sleep, I live for fitness.
No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better.
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online.
I don't like to talk about fear. The fears is usually something that makes your worries real.
You are listening to the Coaching Ignited Show, where we bring you stories and insights from coaches, fitness professionals, and industry experts to help you expand your business and reach your goals. If you're a new listener, thanks for joining us. My name is Alex Povey. You can subscribe to the podcast on all your favorite apps, including Spotify and iTunes. The Coaching Ignited movement is on a mission to help coaches and personal trainers increase their sales and reach their full potential. If you wanted to find out more, please head over to coachingignited.com. And if you wanted to connect with us on social media, all the details can be found in the show notes. Now let's get into today's show.
So this is episode 5 of the podcast, and today we've actually got our first female guest, which I'm super excited about. We've got Tori Gaynor. She's a personal trainer at Synergy Fitness in Barkingside, down near London. She's built a loyal 10K following on Instagram, and she's just started vlogging as well, which I'm excited to talk about. So thank you so much for joining me here on the podcast, Tori. Really appreciate it.
That's all right. Oh, good. My pleasure.
So let's kick things off. Let's go back to the start. Like, what made you decide to become a personal trainer? That's what I like to ask everyone, first of all.
Okay. Well, I found my confidence in fitness and weightlifting myself, and going through some pretty hard times in my life, I found my own confidence through that. And then as that grew and grew and grew, I was like, I want to do this full time. I want to help other women feel the way I feel, and I want to empower other people the way what fitness has done for me. I kind of want to give back by giving that to as many women as I can.
Awesome. Have you picked a niche off the back of that? Then have you started to focus on a particular group of people that you're trying to help?
Yeah, I mean, I went into it sort of being a bit open with who I was going to take on. I did take on a few guys at some point, but now I'm super nailed down on sort of like 20 to 30 year old women, that want to tone up, drop a bit of body fat, get body confident, look good in a bikini, kind of, you know, your average girl that feels like she's got an average body. I want to take her to the next level where she feels sexy and confident, and empowered. Yeah. So I'd say, yeah, like around, 20 to 30 year old women.
So did it start off a bit differently for you when you first started? Were you just taking on anybody, and then it just changed over time? Like, how did it play out?
Yeah, I mean, I always knew that when I left my old job, I was doing hairdressing before, and I always knew that I was doing this job because I loved fitness, and I always said I wouldn't do any clients I didn't enjoy doing. And I kind of stood by that even when I wasn't sure about money. I was like, no, I'm not going to do clients that I don't enjoy training, whether that's personality clash or, you know, what they want to achieve is just not something that I feel that I would specialize in. So I would sort of turn away clients if I didn't feel that they were right for me, because I wanted, you know, I wanted it to work. So if I'm happy and they're happy, then it will work. If we're not getting on or clicking, then I kind of knew that it wasn't going to be a relationship we could build with. But at the start, I would say, yeah, I did take on, looking back, I did take on a few people that I sort of didn't enjoy doing. And as time went on and I realized, nah, this isn't for me, I would slowly sort of work my way away from those clients and really focus on nailing my social media towards the specifically, like, you know, at women and not men, and at women with average bodies and not, you know, just people that I really wanted to work with.
Yeah, makes sense.
Does that answer your question?
yeah, totally. I'm interested, like, when you've got a client that you're training and you're thinking, they're not really a good fit? Like, is there a process? Is there like a way to kind of get out the situation in a nice way? How do you approach that?
That's such a good question. What would I do? So I guess with some of them, I slowly fizzled it out. I guess that's a tough one. I don't really have a particular process. I guess I'm quite an upfront person. So in the past, I've said to someone, like, I just don't think this is going to work. And I can refer you to another trainer that I feel would fit you better and would specialize in what you need a lot better. And then and then at that point, I would kind of either pass that person's number on or wouldn't hear from them again. But yeah, I would sort of tell them that I just don't think that it's going to work, and I wish them the best. And yeah, and hopefully they'll find someone else that's more suited for them.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. So let's talk about your client base and stuff, because you've got a healthy client base now. And then you started back in January, is that right?
So yeah, I started personal training at the beginning of the year.
So how did you go about sort of growing that client base so quickly? Because you've got a really healthy business right now, and it seems to be ticking over really well. How did that grow so quickly? What did you do on a day-to-day basis?
So I kind of always made myself known in the gym. So like literally when I walk into the gym, I know it, like pretty much I'd say 70 to 80% of the people at the gym. It's quite a small gym, so it's quite family oriented. So I always made myself known. So where my gym's quite men orientated, it's quite a weightlifting gym. I figured that if they all kind of knew me, then I'd get referrals for their girlfriends or their wives, if they knew me and thought I was good at what I do. And then on a daily basis, I was really, really working on my social media. I'd say I got a decent amount of clients from social media. I would just kind of make sure I was putting out valuable posts to those people every day. So like things, tips for fat loss, toning up, 5 steps to dropping 5 pounds or things like that, that would talk to the people that I want to train. What else would I do? I kind of really, really worked on nailing the client journey. That was one thing that I feel like I've done differently to other trainers I know of. I really wanted to make my clients feel like they're on a journey. So we'd always take pictures, measurements. I'd keep them up to date with those. And then we obviously with the pictures, I would then get a before and after photo, which I've been posting on my social media of all my clients. So I suppose the more results you get, then the more proof you have that you're good at what you do. And then that sells, you know, nothing, you can blag your way, you know, what a good trainer you are. But I think until you've got a solid portfolio of results and real life people that actually believe in what you do and you have genuinely really helped them and can share that, then that kind of got me loads of referrals. I never really advertise or give deals. I kind of let my work speak for itself and let my clients speak for themselves and refer me to their friends and family. You know, I think if you really nail someone's results and really genuinely change someone's life, then they believe in you and they will talk about you to everyone and their friends. And, you know, people say, you look so good. How did you get into that shape? And then word of mouth just gets round. And I think that's the way I've really got my clients, through word of mouth.
Got you. And then like with these like testimonies and case studies that you have, did you actually present them like within your consultations or your tasters, or did you just put them on your social media and people found them and came to you? Like what's your process?
I'm in the process of putting them on my website and getting that up and running. But obviously in the beginning, you don't have all these things set in place. And yeah, where I kind of jumped into this, I'm learning as I go. I'm constantly like learning every day, so it was all kind of do it as I go. So I didn't really have a portfolio I'd present it to them. I would just refer them to my social media and say, look, check out my page, they're all on there, my client stories, and then they can really go on there. And I always tell people to go on there because I'm like, you can get to know me on there. So we're sitting here for 5 minutes and I can sell you the dream. But if you go on my page and you're like, I really like what this girl does, I like her values, I like, you know, she can do what she says she can do. You know, this is one of her clients, I can really relate to her client. And then they can sort of have an insight into my world without me sitting there and explaining everything. It kind of allows them to go, you know, to sit at home and look through it as long as they like. So yeah, and I don't really have a hard copy of my portfolios. I would always just refer them to my page. And then obviously as Instagram got the highlights page, I then created a highlights with all my transformations on it. So now I can just say, look, you can just click on there and see the pictures, or you can go through the page and read the stories. Yeah.
So you direct everyone that you meet face to face in the gym to your social media? Is that how you've built like a relevant demographic on there?
Yeah. What you mean, the amount of people that
are following you? Because obviously you need to post to people that are potentially going to be clients, right? And they must kind of be in that gym or close by. So how have you built like people that are close by? Have you literally just said, everyone that you meet, go to my social media, check it out, and build a following that way? Like, how have you developed it?
I guess, like, most, to be fair, like, 90% of my followers are from London, actually, which is quite good. But I suppose, I don't know, really. I feel like maybe tagging the locations is a good one. Tagging the gym, as in the location for the gym, sometimes tagging the area. When I'm in London, I'll tag that. I'm not entirely sure. I suppose when I do tell people about my social media, then they tell their other friends. But yeah, surely not 10,000 people could be. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So how long did it take you to build that account? Because that's a pretty good following. You've got great engagement. How long did it take you to build it? And like, was there a process behind it? Was it quite sporadic when you first started? Did you get more strategic with it and then start posting value? Like, how has it developed and how did it grow?
So I originally, when I was younger, when I was about 15, I had like a really, really crazy, quirky style. And I used to post all of that. And that got me quite a big following. Well, that got me my first 5,000. Well, I did actually have a lot more than that, but then that kind of dropped as I stopped being that person that they were following, if that makes sense. So I did have...
Right, yeah. So they left because it wasn't consistent anymore.
Yeah, so I kind of just dropped that as I grew out of this style. So obviously my first 5,000 were, you know, were the same kind of market, I suppose, because I had this quirky style. I'm sure that's like a page that young girls would follow. So... I feel like, you know, that's where that come from. But then obviously as I changed my page to fitness, you know, over the years, those people sort of become a bit irrelevant because they're like, they're following you for a fashion page, but you're not, you're doing something completely different. So the other sort of 5,000 people that I've built up since then, genuinely is just being consistent with your posts. Like I remember watching Jade Katie, one of my inspirations on YouTube. And she was saying, you know, your social media is like your second job. And it's so true. Like I put as much love and effort and thought into my social media than I do in every other aspect of my life. And I think to a lot of people going through the process, people are like, you're obsessive or you don't stop posting. It really is 50% of my business, you know, is thinking, how can I add value to people's lives? And then be consistent every single day. And I did a post every single day with a long caption, you know, giving some form of value, whether that's fat loss tips, whether that's workout tips, whether that's a little bit about my background and my life or a workout video idea or, you know, it was, it's just being consistent and using hashtags and location and things like that. And also constantly staying active. So liking and commenting on other people's posts that I like and, you know, that inspire me.
So being social basically,
yeah,
on social media.
Yeah, you've got to just get your name out there. Yeah, if you're the more you're on there, the more people will see your name and be like, oh, who's this? I click on your profile. And then, of course, if your content speaks to them, they will click follow.
Yeah. And do these people reach out to you, DM you, or do you put offers up, or do you DM people? Like, how do you generate the business? Is it inward or sort of is it outreach? Do you proactively go and find it?
No, people will message me, and then I will talk them through like what I do. So yeah, I don't really think I've reached out. I wouldn't message anyone directly and say, "Do you need my help?" I kind of just trusted myself and trusted the process and tried not to stress about clients. I really just tried to try and add as much value, and then I just believed that it would just come to me if I just relax and give out the right vibes.
Got you. So you mentioned that you get inspiration from, is it Jay Cady?
Jay Cady, yeah, she was one of my first like Insta girls that I followed when I started like getting into fitness.
Awesome. Like what do you find inspirational about her and her profile and stuff? And what do you like? And have you taken anything from her profile and tried to adopt those same type of things in your profiles?
When I first got into the industry, I really wanted to compete. She's a WBFF pro, so I just really aspired to be like her. And, you know, I loved her physique, and just took a lot of value from her page in terms of tips and things. I suppose she put a video up about like a YouTube video about leaving your job and becoming an influencer. And I took some tips on that for my social media, I suppose. Yeah, I don't know. I think more just about talking to your ideal client. That's one thing that I just really focus on doing. So always talking to that person.
Yeah, I've noticed on your Instagram, it's very detailed. It's very like to the point. It's like exactly your demographic, who you help. And so you're basically trying to cut through the noise and niche down basically, so you can speak to a particular audience.
Exactly. Like I always do like a little question. I'll be like, you know, something that will talk to a person. So the other day I posted one that's, I just put confidence hit rock bottom ? And then that will talk to someone that is low in confidence, which, you know, anyone that comes to a personal trainer is most likely low in confidence. You know what I mean? So in their body anyway. So that therefore that speaks to someone and they're like, oh, okay, what's she got to say about that that could help me? And it's just about being consistent with those posts and sorry, I'm blabbering. I go off on one.
No, it makes perfect sense. You're hitting those emotional points, which is what it's about, isn't it? Because you're trying to get through to people. You're trying to get them to hear your message. Yeah. And so you kind of need to put out the right messages in order to get that engagement. 100%. If it's too bland, if it's not polarizing enough, you're just not going to get the attention. Like I do it the same with my ads. They're very like one-sided, or they're very like, ooh, can't really say that. But if you do that, people actually notice it and it cuts through the noise, right?
Yeah, totally. And I think, sorry, I've lost my train of thought. What was I going to say?
It's okay. We'll come back to that. But let's talk about some other projects that you've got going on. I know you've got the YouTube. I know you're looking at online personal training. Talk to me about what you're excited about going forward.
Okay, so moving forward, I'm starting an online coaching business. I've like started talking about that a bit more on my page, just so that obviously where I've got quite a big following and I don't really want to take too many more people on in the gym. I want to kind of take my business a bit more online, because that's where I feel that everything is moving. So yeah, I'm doing online coaching, and that will be sort of like personal training just without seeing me one-to-one, face-to-face. That's meaning you can be anywhere in the UK and I can coach you through Skype. I'm also going to be doing a fat loss guide that will hopefully be like ready by the end of the year, ready for January, which will be like I'll sell on my website. And yeah, that's another thing. I'm getting my website up and running. So hopefully again, my goal is to just get everything done by the new year and go into the new year with a whole like next level to my business and my brand. And then also I've got a photo shoot coming up next week, which will be my photos for my website. So yeah, so it's cool. All exciting. But yeah, I've kind of set myself a good few months to really just get it all done behind closed doors and then, you know, get it up and running for Jan.
I mean, let's dream for a second. What's the like ideal plan? Because you've got like these offline clients, right? You're pretty busy. You don't really want to take on any more clients. Is the plan to shift more into online and spend more of your time and resources building the online programs? Or is it still maintain the offline, but then just layer in a little bit of online? What's the goal?
I think ideally I'd like to drop my evenings at the gym and do more online stuff. And just do morning clients. I think that is a goal, is to do, to do more online and be able to be more mobile. I think that's definitely where I want to take it. I do love training people at the gym, so I wouldn't want to, that's not like something I'd want to ever get rid of entirely. But I think it's just a case of being able to spend more time, you know, doing other things and spending time with people I love and get more me time. And do more sort of stuff whenever and wherever I want it, kind of thing. And expand myself on it. Yeah.
I mean, do you think it's important, and it'd be great to get your views on this, about going into the industry and then building your offline client base before trying to go online? Because online's super competitive, right? And if you don't have a story, you don't have any case studies, you don't have any results, it's going to be very, very tough to get any clients, right? And so 100%. What's your views on building that offline client base first?
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online. Because for me, like when you start off, you don't even know if you're good until you get results. You're like, you're kind of winging it. And that's what I was doing anyway. When I started, I was just like, I'm doing everything I think will work, and you never really know it's going to work with someone until you're like, shit, they've got really good results. The measurements have gone down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You never really know you're good until you get results. That's the bottom line. You can know everything, but if you can't get a result for a person, then you're no good as a trainer. Do you know what I mean? So I think getting confident and knowing I'm actually decent at what I do, I can take this online and I can trust that my advice that I give someone, they'll be able to do that without me there in person, is an important thing. And I think I think nailing your client base at home will give you that self confidence and will take away that doubt that you can do it online. And also will give you some pictures to put some before and after. So now when I'm promoting my online coaching, I'm using my photos from my in-house training. So I'll post a before and after picture with saying, you know, I'm taking, you know, what I've done to this client, you know, you can achieve this, even though you will never see me face to face. So it kind of gives someone that proof that you do know what you're talking about. Definitely.
You've got to build in the trust and the credibility.
100%.
Right?
Yeah. And definitely. I think you just take its time. Don't rush everything. You know, you can't do everything in a day. You need to nail what you've got on the ground and then be like, actually, no, I've got enough. I can, now's the time. It's the right time to take it online.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's talk about your YouTube, because you've got a YouTube channel and you've just started vlogging. Like, what was the thought process going into that? And why did you want to start doing it?
I always wanted to do vlogging. I love YouTube and I love girls watching other people's lives, and I love hearing what other people have to say about fitness and lifestyle and how they're eating. And I always took so much value from YouTube. Like when I was in my old job, I would sit on my lunch break and watch YouTube video after YouTube video for a whole hour. Like I literally was obsessed. And I just kind of knew that I wanted to do that as well. But again, it never felt like the right time. So I got my camera. I took it in steps. I bought myself a really good camera. And that was my first investment. I spent £300 on that. And then I kind of didn't use it for ages. And I was just a bit too anxious to start because I didn't feel like it was the right time. And then I got my laptop, and then I kind of taken my time with it and let everything flow, in the way it should do. And I sort of decided once I get busy enough at work, you know, I've got a good amount of money coming in, I can sort of take a day off, like on Mondays, like today's Monday. I will spend the day doing things, you know, for my job that isn't training clients. And I thought, right, on Mondays, I'm going to edit videos and get YouTube videos up for people. And now's the time. Now, with the ability to take Mondays off, I can do all these things now. Whereas before, you kind of take clients as and when you can do. And then you get sort of all your days get taken up with a few clients, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so now, totally.
That makes sense.
It makes total sense. Do you feel a bit nervous when exposing yourself that much, though? Because vlogging is very, you can edit it, right? But it's still you, like you're really exposing yourself. And it can sometimes feel a bit like, ooh, what are people going to think? Are they going to judge me? Like, what was your thought process going into it and doing those vlogs?
What do you mean? What was my thought process? Like, what was I worried about? Like,
Did you have those concerns? Were you thinking, should I do this? Should I not? Did you put it off? Because like a lot of people are going to be thinking, I can't do that. Like, what are people going to think about me? But like, what was your thought process? And you were like, fuck it, I'm going to do it.
Well, I always knew that I was relatable, and I always knew that I have so much to say and share, and I know I can help and inspire people. So I want to reach as many people as I can. And I did think, what are people going to think of me? You know, are people locally that I know, or like, you know, like family, friends, and people that know you but don't know you, if you know what I mean, what are they going to think? Yeah. And am I really exposing myself to, I don't know, I think there's something a lot, it's not too scary to expose yourself to people you've never met and maybe will never meet. I think it's more, the fear for me was the people that know me, like, I don't know, my mum's friends that, you know, or people that know me from the gym, you know, knowing really deep stuff about me that I want to share with everyone, but wouldn't necessarily want people knowing that are going to see me, if that makes sense. So you really expose yourself and all your insecurities and things like that to be relatable. And you have to expose yourself to be relatable and to be different. But I think it's the fear of being judged by people that do know you. But I kind of just thought, like, fuck it. Like, I wanna grow. And I think this is the next step for me. And it's something that will make me really happy doing and being able to do more of it. So being able to sort of slowly build a following on YouTube, and then therefore taking a route sort of further down the blogging side of things. It's something I always wanted to do. So I thought, I can't hold myself back. Like, just got to go for it and be me. And if it works out, amazing. And if it doesn't, then at least I can say, you know what? I really did try and I made really good vlogs, and but it didn't really work out. But, you know, rather than sort of always wishing that I could do what these vloggers do and watching other girls and being like, oh, well, you know, I could so make a video like this and then never do it. So I thought if they can start off with zero following and get millions of followers, then I can do exactly the same. Like they didn't get a gift. They worked on it, and they also started with zero followers. So
I love that mindset because a lot of people look around and they go, well, this person's crushing it. This person's crushing it. This person's crushing it. There's nothing left. That's bullshit. Like,
there's enough people in this world to go around. Yeah.
Yeah, if other people are crushing it, it means that you can actually crush it as well.
Yeah, totally.
Like, if loads of other people are making loads of money, it means you can do it. If loads of other people are healthy, it means you can be healthy. Like, someone else can do something. Why can't you do it, right? Obviously, there's going to be limitations, looks, connections, all those sorts of things, right? But generally speaking, you've just got just as much chance as anyone else doing it. And I love 100%. That mindset. Absolutely, I absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally agree.
So we're just going to draw things to an end now, because I know you've got other things you need to crack on with today. But is there any sort of final words that you want to give to the listeners, or even just any advice to like personal trainers coming in the industry? They're not really sure what to do or build a client base. Just anything that would help anyone in the fitness industry.
I would say just be really, really approachable and friendly in the gym. Say hello to people when you see them in the gym. Get to know people's names, and then, you know, the next time you meet them, greet them with their name. Just make yourself really approachable on social media as well, and in person. Just really open yourself up, because I think, especially if you've got a lot of guy listeners, I know being a woman, I think you can be a little bit more approachable to women, or to people in some respects. I think men can be a little bit intimidating if you've got a really amazing physique and you're really big. And I think a lot of the time guys will post on their social media page, you know, pictures of them topless and looking a little bit intimidating. I would say maybe tone the intimidating stuff kind of down and just make yourself really nice, you know, nice and friendly to people. Because I think just make yourself a lot more approachable and be as friendly as you can be, and then people will just resonate towards you.
Clients. Awesome. Thank you so much, Tori. I really appreciate it.
That's we're going right. to put Thanks some.
You're welcome. We're going to put some links in the description to your social media, your website, and stuff. But if people wanted to find you, where can they find you?
On Instagram, I'm Tori Gaynor at Tori Gaynor Fitness. So yeah, I think you can just type in Tori Gaynor and it should come up.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll direct everyone there. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm super, super grateful. And keep on doing what you're doing. I hope everything goes well.
Thanks for tuning into the show. I hope you enjoyed it, guys. If you did, head over to your favorite app and leave us a short review. I'd really appreciate that. And if you wanted to learn more about our products and services, head over to coachingignited.com. And if you wanted an awesome website built for your coaching business, head over to our partner company, savectormedia.com. That's all from me. See you soon.